This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome back to the Good Trouble After Show. We're talking season 2, episode 16, Fragility, and we have a full panel after, like, so many episodes, guys. I cannot even. I'm your host, Shay Jones, and I've been rocking it with you since season 1. But to my left, I have the king of freeform. He loves it. He's a boss. Mr. Bryant Santos.
Yes, I'm also giving you that LGBTQIA perspective. Yes.
And it's amazing. And to his left, yeah, I have to make sure I understand what my left is. Lauren Hubbard, she brings you the queen of news and gossip.
What's up, guys? Stay tuned. We have some good news coming up.
And a Foster's OG fan. Yeah. I have Miss Janice Naim.
Hi, everyone. I love the Fosters, and I'm such a huge fan of this whole franchise, and I don't think it's easy to, you know, replicate such a good show, but this show definitely is almost better than The Fosters, dare I say it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. And not only do we have a full panel, guys, we have a very special guest. You know him as Isaac from Good Trouble. Sharon is J. Jackson. Please send that say it right.
Yeah, you said it right.
Good job. I'm winning names. Like, you guys have no idea how hard that is to respect. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm very good. I'm glad to be here. It's fun, like, to talk about stuff you're a part of. So, you know, because sometimes, you know, your friends don't really care. So,
I wish you could get better friends.
Yes. Right?
They, like, there's only so many of them that actually even watch TV. So,
oh, wow.
Okay. But it could be kind of nice. Sometimes you have a separation, and then, like, like my daddy watch everything I do. So, if I want to talk about something, he'll. I'm sure he'll call me and talk about it. So, yeah.
We'll it's good right. to have that balance.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But we're going to get into this episode because a lot happened. And we're going to start with the, what did you call it? The
love square.
Love square that we're in. I like to call it the quadruple thing that won't
it's
die.
It's like 5 people at this point.
Okay. Actually, I don't know why I thought about it, but I had to think. So we have Evan and Mariana. They are doing a photo shoot for the Activism app. And it's awesome. Obviously, a woman in tech getting the credit she deserves for her app. Because it's an opportunity like Rasha that is very rare. It rarely, it needs to be shown because it rarely happens. The opportunity doesn't always present itself.
That's good.
But obviously there is tension between Evan and Mariana and Raj. Yeah. I don't know what's going through his head sometimes. I really don't. And then he gets a text from Isabella and we don't know what he's talking about obviously at first. Because they like to tease us and make us
just start at the end and then make us work back.
They anticipate us. Like that's what it is. Like you just want to just like make my mind explode with my assumptions of what's going to happen.
But it does keep you hooked, though, don't you think?
It really does. Yes. Yeah.
I definitely wanted to know what was going to happen. She was like, "Are we a thing?" And I was like, "You better not be."
Right? I'm like, "Ma'am, that's not a." This is your roommate's, new roommate's, by the way, your new roommate's boyfriend.
Whom she didn't even do a background check for. Like, we don't know who this girl is. She could
Thank
be
you.
Anyone, right. literally.
That she didn't just go on the lease. Like, last week, just on the lease. Like,
like we're going to make this permanent now. Okay, so, and she, we don't know what the thing is, quote unquote, but we need to, we're going to figure it out, obviously, as the episode goes on. And we find out that he becomes a wood elf, entertainer, magician for kids' birthday party. And it was very cute. It was a very nice scene, and I will say this for that scene with Isabella. I actually liked her in that moment. She looked gorgeous, and I actually felt like, okay, this is a person I can actually like.
Yeah, I felt like it was all a ploy to get Raj to, like, see her in, like, all her glory. She tried it with yoga. She's trying it with him being a wood... What the hell is a wood elf? Have you guys ever heard about that?
No.
I think she made that up.
Well, if you're a fairy, there, I believe there could be wood elves or, like, different forms of elves in the hierarchy.
Yes.
That my imagination goes out in that realm of
fairies. Shadowhunters vibes. Freeform buff right here.
Oh, my God. That was funny.
And because they did actually do have fairies and that's the whole big part of Shadowhunters, so it makes sense. It's a whole situation in the book series, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Good Trouble. And, you know, seeing the magic act, him being, I think, more comfortable in who Raj is. I think that was the happiest or passion I've actually seen him that when they didn't involve Mariana or sex.
Sure.
Interesting perspective.
Right or wrong, please tell me if you think
I agree. He was definitely in his element. He was feeling the vibes, working with the little kids. But it still rubbed me the wrong way. Like, why are you trying to tell him to leave work early, number one?
Yes.
You know, don't take money out of my man's pocket. Then, like, you need to sneak away. Are you kidding me? Like, how about, hey, girl, can your man come do a magic trick with me? No. So... she's cute and all, but I don't like her.
She's, I love her, so she's cute and all.
Yeah. She is.
Alex video chats him in his glory. In my mind, I'm sorry, sir. Why did you not take off the wig? That's all you had to do. I don't think anybody cared about the
shirt. I don't think it was glued on.
Like, you could, civil ship, hi, yeah, my privacy project. There's just things you could have did. Then he got knocked out with the...
Oh my, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure it was not a lace front, so he could literally just popped it off. So.
Oh my god.
But then the ears would still stick out, though. Like,
I guess, I don't know. It was a weird situation.
That whole hair was just a weird situation. But obviously, Evan was interested in the app despite what he was dressed as. So, I mean, that looks good for the blue team in that sense. For Alex to get what he wants, basically. Which is more like him, for him to get the same resources as Mariana apparently is getting from Evan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he, as a white male in the tech world, feels like he is being
prejudiced or discriminated against.
Yeah. And I'm just like, sir, you're a white male.
He thinks reverse racism.
He said it was reverse discrimination.
Yeah. Reverse discrimination. Those are words where I'm just like, I want you to actually give me a definition of what you believe reverse discrimination is, and then I'll give you the actual correct discrimination, what it means.
I felt like it had nothing to do with race and more to do with gender and Evan liking Mariana. I just think he went about it the wrong way. He came about it like, oh, you and my boss, like, actually have feelings for each other, and he's giving you special treatment. Like, I would definitely side with him, but the way he's coming about it from, like, a racial perspective kind of gives me the thought that he might be racist. I mean, he has shown some racist tendencies.
It's not even just... it's not racial, I think, so much as more gender bias in his... I think what he wrote in the manifesto was something he believes. Women don't deserve to be paid as equal as a man. It's, point blank and simple.
Alex's character?
Is what you're
talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely... racist.
Yes. Yes.
His jokes that he had very insensitive jokes that he thought
especially
were,
towards Raj.
Yeah,
especially towards
like Raj. Earlier in the series in the show, period. But yeah, he was somebody who, and that actor is a very good actor because did I meet him before one of the table reads? No, I had seen him before I actually met him. And I just remember like when I first, my initial, I was like, oh, this is how like fans get caught up in things. Because I was like, like when I saw him, I was like, like, I didn't like him. But he's actually a really good guy.
Justin's awesome. Yeah. He's really nice in case.
He is. Justin's really good guy.
Let's separate character from person, real quick.
Right.
We'll continue.
Yeah, but him, he is a character that, as soon as I saw his character, I was like, oh, I can't wait to see his arc because I already know he's going to hit hard because he's on his high horse and stuff like that. And that, honestly, that's one of my favorite things to hear is when white men feel like they're being like,
discriminated against.
That Bill O'Reilly type of like, you know, the straight white man's under attack. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's my favorite thing to hear. So, yeah, I mean, with him, I just think that that's just, they're always, someone like that always wants an excuse to feel like they're being, like the reason why they're not ahead.
Entitled.
Is it has to, because of entitlement, it blinds them so much. There has to be a reason why I'm not ahead of you. You can't be better than me. Yes. That's not a thing. So I always like to hear those. And then they come up with ridiculous excuses like reverse discrimination. So,
Now that you mentioned that the character who plays Alex is not, you know, an evil person in real life.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else on the cast that is completely opposite from their character on the show? I'm just curious.
Who would be? Emma is not as clueless as Davia.
Oh yeah, she is. Oh, she's clueless.
No. Yeah.
No. Oh, he means like even the person, but
no, yeah. I'm saying Davia is clueless.
Davia is is clueless. Even though she has a good heart, you know what I mean. She is clueless. That ignorance, you know, not you know, just a lack of access. You know, whoever she was around growing up, that character. Okay. The table reads are so funny when there's certain lines. like there's a line where she says, you guys remember when she was like, I don't see color or something like that. Yes. She, when she read that, she was like, I'm colorblind. Oh my God. And she like crumbled in her chair. And she was like, and then like, even when she had to do the little stupid ass dance and shit, she was like at the table read kind of like, she looked straight at Bradley and Peter. Yeah. Like for real. Like, but yeah, she's not as, definitely not as clear as that. Josh is definitely not as, I won't say broken or depressed, like, you know, tennis, but he's not, he definitely don't get, you know,
the vibe. He's
a pretty cheerful guy. Okay. Yeah, he's a pretty cheerful guy. Everybody else is kind of like, Maya. Jesus. Maya is one of the funniest people on that whole set. She is so funny, and it's one of those things, like, she's the type of person everybody was like, I did not know you're this funny, every time they meet her or talk to her or something like that. She, like, she has great timing. Like, she's made me laugh very hard probably the most on that set.
Oh, wow.
Besides Sherry Cola, like, them two are probably neck and neck, though. Like, that's how funny Maya is. She's so witty and smart.
Yep.
And so she's not as like Callie's more buttoned up in poise and stuff like that. Yeah. Maya's not that.
Oh, wow.
But she's a great actress, obviously. She's going to pull that off.
Yeah. She's Australian, in case anybody did not know that.
Yeah. So, but she's probably one of the most hilarious people on that set I've ever met. And but one of the favorite things to see, though, is how similar Sierra and Mariana is, though. They're pretty similar. Like, in a sense of like, like,
she's uncomfortable.
They're both so girly girl. Like, she's so girly girl. Like, she's so adorable and cute. Everybody thinks she's the cutest thing. And I think the same thing about Mariana. I mean, she's not like as Mariana does, like, dumb shit sometimes. She's just like, come on. Like, so obviously, but like, they're pretty similar as far as like the essence and energy. Like, when I saw, I was like, oh, okay, like, I can see why she's so good at playing that that role. But yeah.
I mean, speaking of energy, like, Mariana and Evan emitted feelings for each other. And I mean, but I love the fact that she said, I do feel something for you, but I do love my man. I love my boyfriend. I love the relationship that I'm in, and whatever we have, it can be. Also, on top of that, if I did get with you, everything I worked here for would be stupid. Like, it would just go up in flames, because now that's the only reason I can only get my app to be a certain way is if I'm sleeping with the boss.
Exactly.
Which is a fair point.
Yeah, I think that quite a few women face that challenge in the workplace. Like, even if it's not, you know, a boss, it could be an employee. You don't want all of your work to lose credit because, oh, you're sleeping with someone else in the workplace. I thought that was very mature of her. I think you used that word a few times for her to say, yeah, I have feelings, but I'm putting them aside because, one, I'm in a relationship. Two, you're my boss. But the way Evan walked out, it was like he was pissed.
Yeah.
He was like,
I also felt like it was like he was like trying to go like back into his shell of not noticing the things around him anymore. Again, in a sense, like how we first met Evan, he was so very like distant, like not aware of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he kind of just like, okay, so if I can't have feelings, I can't share my feelings. Mm. I have to revert back to what I'm used to, what I know.
Yeah.
It's, how do you feel?
It's not so simple. Like, so
he's like, so I'm like,
so it was like, is it a mature thing that she said that? Yes. Like, can people actually be mad that Evan was mad and walked away? I don't think so. And the reason why I say that is all the breadcrumbs, just watch every episode, every interaction to her and how it builds and how she starts, how her body starts responding to him. So this is just science, just how human beings and species work with each other. So the way she starts reacting to him and the eye contact she makes on him and how she starts looking at him, and she's feeling a certain way, so he's not tripping.
She can't control how she's feeling, though.
Huh?
She can't control how she's feeling.
But she can control her actions.
Yeah, but she can't control her actions, exactly.
She does control him. She does kind of like,
helps him out. Like, she made him feel so comfortable. Who was a person who was on the spectrum. You know how hard it is to make someone on the spectrum.
You make a good point. Socially,
and she did that, and she's gorgeous. No, what you expect her to do? Of course, I'm mad now because I thought that I was the reason why he's comfortable enough to even say anything is because he thought he was going to get that back, probably, right? You know, whatever. If he obviously knows about her situation, stuff like that, but he's just going off what she's giving him and that energy between them two. So I do think she was irresponsible leading up to that with how her interactions were with him. And that was my problem with her, especially with him, someone who is sociably, who gets social anxiety and stuff like that. Like, I was like, I get you trying to make him comfortable, but at the same time, you're setting him up for failure, and who knows what that could do to him. And I was getting really mad every time I would see how she was acting towards him. Like, that frustrated me. So I was, she's wrong.
I agree. I think me and Shay actually mentioned that a few times, how she's leading him on and what's going to happen, because, you know, he does have, you know, different social norms than everyone else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% too. Like, if she wasn't even giving him any inkling and he tried to act on it, then that would be a completely different story.
Right.
But of course, like you said, she's touching him and she's giving him the bedroom eye that she should be giving to her real man. But
I mean, her man's giving some eyes to somebody else. So look at her. Why is he doing that? Because he's clocked this, though.
He's clocked her and Evan. So now he's getting attention from somebody else. He's like, fuck it. She accepts it from somebody else. What do you want Raj to do at this point? I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but if my two negatives equal to positive, something's mine. So I'm just, you know what I'm saying? You know how people react. Oh, so again, I still think at the root of it, whether it's dealing with Raj or Evan, I think Mariana, she is the common denominator in that to me. I just think she just, and it's not even in a way where I think she's just consciously doing this. She's such a sweet, good-hearted person.
It's a very subconscious thing.
It's not. It's a very innocent thing. It's just mistakes she's making that she would have to learn. It's just all about maturing, and she hasn't really experienced this type of situation. Especially, look, if you follow the Fosters stuff, like her, you know, being a child there, and then she's like a young adult here into the workspace stuff. Like, all this stuff is new to her, so I understand the mistakes, but at the same time, you got to hold people accountable for what they do and their actions.
Yeah. I mean, she even almost came clean to Raj. It was going to be a come clean until the manifesto, and
that manifesto messed up
everything. So now you're accountable for Alex's actions in that sense that she basically made, like, You can make it right, but I don't know if that's gonna make it right between me and you. I don't care how drunk you were. That was an excuse. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, Raj was so wrong. I mean, he got his buddy back, you know, he was happy, he was drinking. Unfortunately, something slipped out, which I'm sure everyone has, like, let something slip at one point. But he should have stopped. Like, he kinda caught himself. And then Alex was like, he did what? That's when you're like, oh wait, what did I just say?
Yeah, that's when I would have kept it to myself. That's like, that's a sober moment, okay?
I felt like Alex was actually trying to get that information out of Raj.
Yeah.
Like, the way he was looking down at him, like, I think he tried to, like, get him drunk so he could, like, spill the tea on Mariana.
Like, so at least have some leverage, definitely, to use at a later date, which he, you know, used a trump card for that.
We think.
We'll find out.
Yes, exactly.
Find out.
Also, pulling trump cards around here is Jamie, apparently, because he was brought in as a lawyer for the CC Hastings that Callie took herself out of for her relationship. And she, when she finds out, she's pissed. Granted, they did offer more money, but now she's pissed. I'd be pissed too. You did lie. Like, I'm sorry, you lied.
I disagree with you.
I know you guys don't. I don't care. You lied. She agrees with me. But, oh, no, wait. Everyone don't agree with me.
No, wait. I'll disagree with you.
I'm in the middle. I can see both sides.
I've read all the scripts. I've said what's going on. So, wait, who are you talking about lied?
Jamie lied to Callie about the client.
Oh, about who he's representing?
I think he just omitted something.
Okay, so when does omission not become a lie no more? So now we're saying all omission is not lies?
Because he told her, was that the end of the car scene? Or no, we're talking about this.
So that he went to a meeting at her office.
Got it. I'm caught up now. Yep, here we go.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Okay, no, this is why I say it wasn't a lie, because initially when they had this discussion and Callie decided to remove herself, he was not working this case.
Yes.
His firm just represented the company. Mm. He says that today they put me in. He called her. They even said, your phone's blown up. Call Jamie back. Call Jamie back. So he tried to warn her. She can't get mad at him for doing his job.
Oh, but I can't get mad at you for saying technically it's not a conflict of interest, because technically there is none now that you're not working the case no more. That's the issue.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. Because that was the exact place where they were in the beginning. Like, he wasn't really on the account and she was. And right. So that was a conflict of interest. Now he is and she isn't, so it's still the same thing. So I think that's just like a cheap, you know,
I don't think it's a conflict of interest. She decided to remove herself for their relationship, so she should not be involved with that case anymore. And yeah. even her manager said that, like, look, you removed yourself.
He's also awesome. Mark is stupid as hell, so look.
Retweet.
I say he's stupid as hell because this is the reason why, for a couple reasons. One, because even though I'm not on the case no more, you also made it seem like if I would have took myself off the case, that was expecting me because I'm a woman.
Yeah. At the end of the conversation, I felt that.
That's where my issue a little bit with Marcus is. Because I'm a woman, it's expected of me to step aside from a case for my man, for my relationship.
Mm. Yes, and that's what Kelly's boss mentioned. Yeah, she said, don't let anybody. So
I'm not trying to bash black lawyers. I'm bashing your values or your views on the situation.
Right.
Yeah. And let's talk about values, apparently, because, you know, there was a discussion about ex-Heather and... you know, why they broke up, and, you know, the same values, because Jamie doesn't want to be like his parents, but, you know, Callie wants the same strong relationship her parents have, you know, of Lena and Steph. But that means that this begs the question, are we on, do they have the same values? Because I personally don't think they do.
They don't, no.
I don't think they do.
He's a registered Republican.
Thank you. I'm not over this.
I think when it comes to like basic morals, they do have the same values. Yeah. Like in what? How they would raise their kids, I think they would. Like Jamie, I think, is a feminist. Like the way he supports her, I don't know. Do you guys disagree with that?
I can see it, but I haven't seen any toxic.
That's my issue with Jamie. Mm-hmm. You pick and choose a situation that works best for you. You can't always do that.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that was the... argue that. I guess, yeah, he has done that. But, I mean, my thing with Jamie, I think, is... when it comes to them, obviously, they connect very strongly. He's been a very good... Man, I mean, what was it that he burned up at the end of the last season?
Oh, he burned up his Republican card.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. How prideful that is to honestly. People who are about, like, their political party and stuff like that. They get so riled up about it. And he did that. And, like, not, like, yes, for her, but also himself, I feel like. But he did it for her. So I think this is a man who is... willing to compromise a lot. Even like I loved how they handled their that's one of my favorite
scenes. Me too. That was like wow.
That was so
I'm ready.
I mean they're both lawyers, so they negotiations had to happen. Yeah. I loved it.
That was a great scene though, like the love and basketball version in Lawyer World, like love and law, you know what I'm saying? Like that was really dope to me. Yeah. But even in that, how they made it fun and stuff, but he was, you know, they're doing the counters. This is a couple willing, because I think even what they do and who they are, willing to compromise. And I think because every time you're willing to compromise and you guys both have good basic morals, you could go a long way with that. Mm. Especially when you're willing to compromise. He hasn't shown that he's hard-headed.
Exactly.
I think, honestly, when you said he was feminist, I was like, oh, wow, because I've never really seen him that give any misogynistic energy. Mm. So I wouldn't be able to agree with that, yeah. But, yeah,
he said at the end of the episode, he was like, Callie, you're going to lose either way, so just, like, back out. That kind of, like, robbed me the wrong way. Did you guys get that or catch that?
It really did, because you basically said I was on a losing case. Like, you basically said that what I put so much time and effort into, it didn't matter, basically.
That was like a slap in the face.
It's not that to help her out, in a sense.
I feel like he was saying the truth. Like, at the end of the day, he was just saying the truth. Right. He got them more money. He fought for them. He did what he could do. So, take your money. Even Marcus said, look, no one else is going to pay these people this money, Callie. Like, it is what it is.
Like, see, and you got to think in that world, like, sometimes, yeah, she's dealing with her emotions and stuff. And Jamie's straight up just like...
Facts.
Yeah, emotions to the side. Mm-hmm. Yo. And in his mind... Not to say that he wouldn't be wrong. You never know. There's no absolute anything. Nothing's impossible. But in his mind, he's like, I highly doubt, and when I highly doubt at this stage in my career, and it's got me this far, I'm usually right, that you're going to get anything better than this. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, and maybe the way he might have said it kind of would have come off the wrong way, and I'm totally sure he agree. Didn't mean it in a disrespectful way coming from Jamie speaking to Callie, because I think he adores her. You know, and but with her, we're in her, we're in Callie's vehicle, so we're gonna experience her emotion, and mm-hmm. she's not happy about that. So naturally, a lot of times we're not gonna be happy. Callie not happy, I'm not happy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, that just does it. But I generally thinking like what you said. I think he was just saying like, yo, like this is just what it is. It just mm-hmm. so happens that they're in love. You can't think about none of that when it comes to this world.
Yeah, though. It's his job. It's like, that's what he's paid to do.
Yeah, it's cutthroat world.
You know? Yeah, and I definitely agree with that too, and I think that was like one of Callie's like I guess conflicts was like she really is working so hard for her career, but she still wants this great relationship that she already knows she has, and that's why I kind of commended her when she did what she did and stepped down, because
I was so surprised
Mariana
that she
provided
that.
Such an interesting perspective of it doesn't always have to be a fight, like you can step away and not battle when you think it's not worth it. So I think that she's going through that conflict, and I think that's kind of coming to a head. But
and we've never seen that from her to back down.
Never. She is very, she's so feisty.
Which is why we love her ever since the Fosters till now, which is why you love her. She's willing to fight for what she believes in and loves, and she just at this point she was like, for the first time maybe she was just going to put her relationship first. Which usually she would have put her feelings and emotions first.
But you guys get the sense that she might go back on the whole contract they signed about her.
She definitely went back, because even though she stepped down, I don't think it meant that her stepping down didn't mean she was any less passionate about fighting I just stepped down to save what we have. Now, seems like the game is changing, and that's the case.
But honestly, I disagree, because like you said, I felt like Jamie's always the one compromising. Like, if you think about it, he's always the one there. Just kind of like you're always the one there for Malika. Like, sometimes the ladies kind of have to put their pride aside. Yes. And I'm so glad she showed up for you for your, you know, dad's birthday.
That was, but when I read that, I was like...
I love last week's episode about your character dealing with anxiety, because that's something we don't see a lot often, especially often on TV as a black man.
Absolutely.
Well, and that was very amazing. Let's not completely discredit Sterling K. Brown.
There's not many of us, is what we should say. It's not
and
many.
Also Chidi from The Good Place. The Good Place.
Oh, The Good Place. That's a good job.
He's on like level.
Chidi got issues. He's on Infinity. It is rare in the fact that I love the fact that Malika was there for you and saying, talk to somebody. Like, you've been dealing with it since you were a kid.
I
don't think you said a word to anybody about it.
Yeah, it's not something that Isaac has definitely, like, he's definitely hasn't talked to many people about it. You know, he might have lightly said it to siblings or something like that, you know, the family, maybe. We all know, as minorities in this room, you know, in the minority community, a lot of times, especially with growing up, like, you know, if you growing up in the 90s, 80s, anything before that, like in the 90s and before, like, a lot of times, you know, someone be acting up. Like, I could think back, I'm like, oh, they definitely had, you know, some things going on, but it was, oh, they're just in one of their moods, and then you just hear them in the fucking room just going nuts and stuff, and I'd be like, dang, yo. And then even when I was feeling certain ways, or because I'm someone who has dealt with anxiety in my life, so I didn't understand what that was when I was younger. You know, I didn't know. I thought I was tripping. That's what you do.
Yeah, especially in the 90s. You're just tripping.
That's what it is.
It's normal, though. Normal to trip for a second.
It is. Like, you have that. But that was very special for me, because this is the first time in my career I was able to do more than just kind of... a lot of characters I've played have kind of just been kind of leveled, and, you know, you don't go too far off base with your emotion or anything that you're... I haven't explored much. Definitely involved in interesting things, but this was the first time I was able to dive into something, and it was something that was special to me, just because that's something I could pull from my life. Our anxiety is a little bit different, but which I thought was also important to, like, have specific conversations, and especially to have such as this supportive, loving black couple on the screen talking about this. I thought, and the messages I was getting were so, like, I was like, wow, like,
it was amazing to watch.
It was a lot to do, that day, and then that scene on a rooftop afterwards, just all that, like, that was like, this has been some of my favorite work to do, and I was thanking the writers so much. I was like, thank you.
Yeah. It was so funny, like, important. Watching that scene, you would not know that they were shooting on a set.
Right.
That balcony is legit, it's a set. Even the background, I was just like, I was trying to pinpoint a wrinkle. Something. I was just like, but dang, it looks so good.
It looks so good. Like a magic breeze and stuff. The sun's out. Like, that was just.
And then we have to get into Davia, because her character, this is a big thing for her character, especially because we were given also things that she was reading from the book White Fragility. Mm-hmm. And some things I just love, she said, it was just, as a white person, are there racial dynamics that I can't see? Aiming to be colorblind denies the reality of racism. White tears is how our fragility presents itself as we cry about how hard racism is for us.
Yeah.
First of all, if that did not strike a chord in nobody else, let me tell you real quick how it struck a chord. Because, and also how she said about how white people, if we call them on prejudice or racism, they think that we're attacking their character or their person. We're not. We're really not. We just want you to try to broaden your mind.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Of what is actually happening in the world, because you're not seeing it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I'm not saying anything, then you're just continuing not to see it.
Pro-black, pro-Latino, pro-Asian, whatever, pro-anything is not anti-white.
It is not anti-anything, just like Black Lives Matter isn't anti-anything.
It's not anti-anything. Whatever, pro-whatever you are, it's like transgender, whatever it is, it's not anti-anything. That's like the brightest flashlight when I see it, is how mad, like when I've seen people get over certain things, and I'm like, no one was coming at you.
Yeah.
You're speaking like this because... one, of your ignorance, mainly. let's just talk about ignorance. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, I love that they use Davia as a vehicle to explain these things. Because if it's Malika, some people are going to be like, oh, God, they're beating this over the head and rolling preaching. Their eyes.
Yeah.
They're preaching. So when you use it, which is sad, you know. Sure. But she has mentioned it before, right? So you have her mention, and then you have... Davia's character actually do the work. And even why it's more important than her, like why I think it's even more special is Davia instead of like Judge Wilson, you're right, because that was someone who's a conservative judge who's convicted of many black bodies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would be this thing like, oh, Judge Wilson, right? But the reason why it's even to me is more powerful is Davia, because this is someone who has seemed an ally or tolerant her whole life, right? Friends, probably has friends of all shades and colors, and you would never see no harm done towards her black friends or any minority, whatever it is. Like, she's accepting of everyone. That's how she feels. And she is, right? In her heart, she is. She doesn't see the microisms of things, you know, obviously, because she's not fully taught because of her... You say whiteness as if it's like a disease or something. Like, when you're white, though, you are...
It's just a statement.
Yeah, you're just... When you're white, though, you are... shielded against a lot of things that we would see, right? Mm-hmm. You know, little things, right? So to come from that character, I think it's even more important, because it's really tough for those type of people who are good people and are allies, and they feel, but there's still things that they could be educated on. That's when it's tough for them, because they're like, I've been there for this. I've always supported this, that. Like, that's always our argument, right?
Yeah.
And so when it is someone like that, then you could really sit with that and be like, to me, that just comes across more powerful and clear to me.
Especially because she is also a teacher in a public education system. Yes.
Absolutely.
Where,
even though I hated that,
like, it's so underfunded. Like, our public school system.
I hated him.
He was annoying at first.
I don't like it. We'd be at the movies, if a group of teenagers come in, I'm getting old, yo. I'm that person now. But if it's a group of teenage boys, I'll be like, they're these, like, little rascals and stuff. Like,
it's, oh, it's, wow. Like, just, you really are getting so, old for that.
Maybe you see a little bit of yourself in them.
You're not even 30 yet. So
for sure. I'm not even 30 yet, but I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting old. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. But the public school system is very underfunded as it is. And then... It also, she was like, when they're saying that when you treat people like criminals, they're bound to act like criminals, because that's the only thing that you're showing them they are good for.
Yeah.
Like, you're not giving them a chance to actually develop and actually find their potential, because you've already decided what their potential was before they even got walked in the room.
Yeah. This, like, the whole thing really, like, hit home with me, because I'm 1,000% a minority, but back on Guam, where I'm originally from, I'm technically the majority. I am the local person there, and I am the, basically the majority. So I never had to check my privilege that I didn't even know I had until moving here. So it was something that I saw portrayed, like, for myself, which was really, really interesting. So I really appreciated that, how they did it. And, you know, so now I feel like I'm definitely checking my religion. But, yeah.
Wow.
We're going to get into a quick have you been good or trouble real quick before we go, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. So today's question is, Davia deciding to take a soft support in her helping her students to save her job will be good or trouble when it comes to her kids?
When she has kids of her own?
No, the kids that she's teaching. Oh. She's a teacher. The kids that she's teaching.
So rephrase the question again.
So Davi deciding to take the soft support in helping her students to save her job in the long run. Is that going to be good or trouble when it actually comes to what she wants to do for her
when
kids?
When she says soft support, I think she means allying with the principal, right?
Yeah, allying with the principal and not going to the committee. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So 3, 2, 1...
Yeah.
We're all trouble all around, guys.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you can win this if you leave us a comment on iTunes, say 5 stars. Also, leave your Instagram, your Twitter. You can catch this amazing gentleman to my right on Good Trouble. Like, also, he's going to be coming back in Games People Play.
We got season 2 coming.
Opposite really Lauren quick. London.
Yes, we also have him, J. Mallory McCree, and Denim Richards, and the upcoming Zoo film.
Yes.
We're almost done, but do you just want to talk about it really quick? Because this is like a great project.
Yeah. So this is basically talking about the Black experience during the Holocaust and what their orders were from Hitler, which is to experiment on Black bodies because they wanted to go to Africa and overtake over there. And what they deemed as unlivable conditions because of their white skin, obviously they can't handle the heat, such as Black people. That was their reason to be like, well, we got to experiment. Why are they able to take and we don't? Because, you know, they feel like they're superior and we're not. Yeah. But so it's there's a lot of crazy stories that came from that time. So J. Mallory, who plays Zuri's brother on the show, Dom. Denim, who played, what's Denim's character name? He was with Gael.
Elijah.
I was like, something is close.
So they put this together, and I read it and I was like, look, I'll be part of it if you guys want. I'll help out for sure. And
it's so all I'm minority excited. Cast, right?
All minority cast, obviously besides the Germans. But yeah, and then me and J. Mallory will be doing a film together, which is when I'm going to New York. He'll be in that as well.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Is this awesome. The Martin Luther King Exciting. One?
Or
is
it something different? Okay. We'll talk about it later.
So, Sharonis, you want to tell people where they can find you on all social media platforms?
Oh, yeah. So, just Instagram, Twitter. It's Rone J, RoneJae.
And Miss Janice, you want to tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Niam Janice, NyamJanice.
And you can find me at Lauren the Truth.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at TheBrianSantos.
And you guys can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram and Disney News Weekly on Popcorn Talk. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.